The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
We're going to start with the week trending. Brianna Parkins is with us, broadcaster with Virgin Media Television, and Lorcan Nine, Head of Careers at the Communications Clinic. And to start with you, Lorcan, because there's a story from the courts, we always have to be very careful in whatever comment we pass about whatever decisions are made by the judiciary or by the Director of Public Prosecutions. But earlier this year, there was an enormous amount of worthwhile attention paid to an acid attack which took place in Waterford, with racist elements as well alleged in relation to it. We've had confirmation today that those believed to be possibly responsible have been cautioned rather than charged. What exactly does that mean?
It means that because they're minors, they've decided to not go ahead with a full trial. They've decided to give them a caution.
Which is like a warning, is that something?
Effectively a juvenile warning. And they said it's because they haven't come to the attention of them before, and because they're juvenile, so the guards weren't aware who they were. They never had any interaction, so they decided to caution to them. So
despite the gravity of what happened, because yeah, I mean, this was very, very serious. The throwing of acid led to bad burning of the skin of the victims.
Yeah, and long-term, lifelong damage, long-term damage to the faces, long-term skin grafts they're going to have to get, perhaps eyesight problems. And I think at the time there was huge comment by it. There's comment by the Taoiseach, comment by the Minister for Justice, because we're also aware of what happens in London with the acid attacks, that it becomes a trend. It becomes something that people do. They see other people
and
do
it.
And
this is suggesting you need almost like a zero tolerance.
Zero tolerance would be the intention that people would have for it. I would agree with you that it's dangerous to start questioning these things. There are people who know more about these things than I do. So to widen it a little bit, because as you said, there was maybe slightly racial elements to this, I think it's always important in these things to look at home first. We tend to look across to the States. We even look to the UK, and we kind of tut and say, oh geez, look at the racial tensions that they have there. But we really, really need to be careful and look at home as well, because it does exist here. I think sometimes we have too nice a view of ourselves when it comes to these issues. I think we've seen recently that there are big issues maybe bubbling up in Ireland actually around racial tension and in tension with immigration, etc. So we need to be careful and look at ourselves first before we tut over the seas.
Okay, let's move on. And Time magazine, I'm not sure, is particularly widely read at this stage, but there still seems to be something of an accolade of getting on the cover, and particularly to be the cover for the Person of the Year. I know Donald Trump, before he ever became Time's Person of the Year, had mocked up photographs to put around his golf clubs, framed photographs of him in Time magazine, which had never actually even occurred. He's one of those who seems to have been triggered by Greta Thunberg becoming Time magazine's 2019 Person of the Year. What have you made of the reaction to this nomination, Brianna?
Look, I'm no Greta fan myself.
No?
Apparently you can't call out children, but this is the country of the Late Late Show. This is the country of making fun.
We celebrate children on the Late Late Show.
Of over-enthusiastic children. I've seen Twitter, all right?
Are you saying she's an over-enthusiastic child?
No, I'm saying Greta, you know, when I was 16, I was sneaking down the back of the creek and smoking cigarettes. So maybe it's just jealousy on my behalf. I think what she's doing is great, but also very annoying at the same time. But I think it should be annoying.
Annoying to who? Annoying to those who just don't want to address the issues she's raising, or who just get annoyed by lippy teenagers?
I think it's lippy teenagers in my own circumstance. But my favourite thing is he's gone and tweeted, as he does, and he's told her to chill, which is the worst thing you can say to someone who's angry, especially an angry woman. And she's now adapted that and put it in her own Twitter bio, which is fantastic. He says she should go and chill and watch an old-fashioned movie with a friend. Now she's shoved that into a Twitter bio.
I think we all get a little bit annoyed when people younger than us are successful in doing things. I think it's just in general, it's, you know, that when they're a bit younger.
Do you believe that Trump actually really wrote this tweet for himself? Because apparently, although he does write loads of them himself, he also has his driver, apparently, and somebody else who does his tweets as well for him. And this one says, so ridiculous. Greta must work on her anger management problem, M. Then go on a good old fashioned movie with a friend. Chill, Greta, chill. Now, anger management would be something that a lot of people might say Donald Trump needs to work on himself.
Well, I think isn't that what narcissists do? They kind of see their own flaws and they project them onto other people from time to time. What I think is fascinating about it, and I think it says a lot about where we are at, or where the US is really, is that it shouldn't be good politics for a US president to call out a 16-year-old child, and yet it is. I don't think he's being strategic, but it's quite clearly good, because nobody who supports him judges him by a criteria of decency at any stage anyway, so it's not going to affect him. And a lot of men are very, very angry for whatever reason at Greta Thunberg.
Men.
Yeah,
angry white men.
And middle-aged and older men.
Well, I purposely didn't say middle-aged.
Okay, no, I can say it as a middle-aged man. But she doesn't anger me. I just don't get it why she outrages
actually,
people
I don't
so
understand either. But Trump obviously knows. Trump is an expert test marketer. He's not an expert communicator. He's an expert test marketer. He throws things out there. If he works, he does it again and again and again. He has done this a couple of times. It has worked for him and he does it again.
But do you share any of Brianna's concerns that, you know, people say that not only is it's not appropriate as a 16-year-old to be really getting involved in these things at the level that she is, that she should be enjoying life a little bit. And also the message, is it possible that she has been used and manipulated by other people as is being alleged?
Do you think she's not enjoying life?
I'd
say a 16-year-old going on a yacht across to America. If I was given that chance, I'd have a great time.
Maybe she's smoking out the back of the yacht as well.
The kissing boys, yeah.
All right, well, let's move on from that particular to the youth of our world leaders, because what's the country this year which has effectively been taken over by young females?
Is it Finland?
The new prime minister, she is what age?
34. As far as I'm aware.
Okay. Does she have enough life experience to be the prime minister of a country at the age of 34?
I don't see why not. I mean, she's been elected. She's been given the position. I think we've seen a lot of older people who don't necessarily have any relevant life experience going to those positions as well. So judge it on the record.
What is life experience? Like, career politicians generally never work real jobs. I know in Australia they go from maybe being union activists into political staffers, then into politics. They've never worked a real job in their life. They don't know what it's like to get up early in the morning or, you know, do night shift or look after a sick relative. So,
and experience doesn't equal your age is something that I would suggest.
Elaborate.
In that you can be 50, and if you've never done the job before, just because you're 50 doesn't mean that you're actually experienced. If you've done a job for 10 years and you're only 24, but you started young in that job, well, then you've 10 years of experience in doing that job.
Trump came to the presidency in the United States at 71 without any experience in politics.
Absolutely.
And look how well that's gone.
Tweeting at teenagers.
I do think that there is something interesting when you compare Europe and the US at the moment, though. I mean, because when you look at the Democratic challengers, I mean, you know, Biden and Bernie Sanders are the ones riding high. And I found it interesting to say, if you look at their ages, they're still older now than John Major. And I mean, John Major hasn't been politically relevant since 95, 96, 97. So, you know, they do seem to be, it does seem to be quite an old pack chasing an older man in Trump.
Yeah, but it's interesting about Leo Varadkar was, what, age 39 when he became Taoiseach? We would have had such, Bertie Ahern was in his 40s, Tony Blair in his 40s. The previous generation did have people in their 40s coming through. This is just a decade earlier in Finland.
Well, yeah, we I guess at home we prefer someone in their 50s and 40s than their 40s. Like, if you're in your 40s, you're seen as being too young. But then Jacinta Ardern came along across the pond to New Zealand and we turned around and gone, oh, actually, we'd like a Jacinta. Everyone would like a Jacinta.
What age is she?
She's in her 30s, okay. I think.
And how well is she doing?
She's doing amazingly. I mean, if you can, after 3 days after a mass shooting, entirely change gun reform in a country, you're doing pretty well, I think.
I think we made the mistake, though, of linking age to ideology from time to time as well, particularly with politicians, because younger voters tend to be more liberal and they tend to be, you know, more left wing. Older voters tend to be more conservative. But the same isn't said for politicians. Politicians are a rare breed. They lock in their values quite early and then they tend not to change as we go along. So there's a lot of young politicians, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there's a big left wing liberal.
I would say the opposite. I would say younger politicians tend to be more right leaning. Particularly my coverage of politics, I tend to be kind of those who are getting really active really early on and unpopular on campus. So they're used to dealing with the unpopularity. They know what they want. They go hard. Whereas the left politicians tend to filter through the union system and doing other sort of sideways jobs before they go into
and
politics.
And just the values get set in very, very young for politicians. I mean, look at Jeremy Corbyn. I mean, he's kind of stayed with his university student union politics all the way through to running the Labour Party. You know, they do lock in their values very, very early as politicians. So I just think sometimes we say, oh, they're young and therefore they must be liberal. But that's not the case.
Some of your comments, David Attenborough saying the same things as Greta Thunberg. Is he annoying? We have another one that says, today's loopy teens, tomorrow's eco-terrorist. Good Lord. What a surprise about a bunch of trendy lefties on your show. That's telling you a lot.
Am I trendy? I'll take that.
Okay, I don't get all this Greta Thunberg bashing. The whole boomer generation has hounded the youth to get off their asses and work hard. And here she is doing that. And because they don't like her message, then they don't want to hear it. Also, I feel if it was a 16-year-old boy, I think the older white male generation would find her energetic and ballsy, says Suzanne in Limerick. OK, let's move on to other things. Harvey Weinstein has reached a settlement with many of his accusers of sexual misconduct. What is this? What sort of settlement is this, Brianna?
So he's reached a $25 million separate civil settlement with 30 of the alleged victims. So he's able to do this without admitting fault. All he's doing is making the civil case go away. But the most interesting part out of this is that he secured himself a bailout. So that $25 million isn't coming from his own pocket. It's coming from the insurance because his company went into receivership. It's coming from those who control the company. And he secured a $12 million payout almost to cover his own legal fees. So I don't know how he's wangled this. I'm not, you know, across the American legal system. But it seems like he's scored a bit of a win because he hasn't had to pay it out of his own pocket. And he still gets to have the ability to say he hasn't admitted guilt.
Okay, but at the same time, he does face criminal charges still, and his bail has been increased as well.
Yeah, because he had issues with his ankle monitor that he says were technical issues, but I think maybe he was going away from where he should be with the bail. What I found most interesting about it, though, I don't know if anybody would have seen the images, but he portrayed a very, very different image of himself coming into court than we would have seen of the big, massive Harvey Weinstein. He's in a Zimmer frame, but hilariously, in my view, this pathetic attempt to get sympathy, his Zimmer frame, he's two cut tennis balls as the bottom of him, as shock absorbers for his Zimmer frame, as if Weinstein couldn't afford to get a proper Zimmer frame, and he's got a collar that's a bit too big, and you'd find people try to do this thing to get a bit of sympathy from time to time.
Bill Cosby had the cane coming into court.
Yeah, but I think we need to call out and see through these kind of attempts to make him seem like, oh look, I'm an older man and I'm on a Zimmer frame and I've got a bad back and I'm hunched over, and sure, look, what harm could I do?
There's a picture of Weinstein that's appeared in the last week with Jeffrey Epstein, of course, the guy who took his own life by suicide, allegedly, in a New York prison cell over the summer, with Ghislaine Maxwell as well. Epstein is dressed ridiculously in a white sort of outfit with all medals as if he's some sort of military commander. But Prince Andrew, of course, is closely linked to Jeffrey Epstein, and he has a defender who calls him a wonderful man who's gone through enormous pain, and that defender is...
his ex-wife.
Bertie. Well, in fairness, he's on good terms with his ex-wife.
If that was my ex-husband, I would have thrown him right under the bus.
But he's providing her a lot of money, I think, as Epstein did as well.
Indeed.
Yeah, it's all a bit awkward. She came to his defence, said that this has been very painful for her family, which is probably true, but didn't really go into too much of the car crash interview. She couldn't defend that. That's indefensible.
But I think the key to all of that is that we need to realise that his issue here wasn't the bad interview, it was the awful actions. I mean, it's not about the interview itself, it's that the actions were indefensible. I mean, even if we just look at what he has admitted to, whatever about the allegations, what he has admitted to is going meeting Epstein after Epstein had done a secret plea deal that Epstein had admitted he'd solicited underage.
And so he had been to prison for it.
Had been
as well.
Prison, released, and went over, visited him to tell him he couldn't visit him
over
again.
Over four days,
because it was convenient. As if the royal family has no other way of getting messages across to people.
But I have a question. As a communications consultant, what would your advice be to Prince Andrew before that interview?
Well, look, first of all, it wasn't genuinely about the interview. It was indefensible. Yeah. The second one would be, don't do the interview. There are many other ways of getting his own side across, getting his message across there than doing the interview. But then if you do the interview, go into the interview, show a bit of empathy, punch yourself in the face again and again and again. Talk about the victims. Make no excuses for yourself. Talk about the impact of your actions and how wrong you were, and beg not forgiveness, but understanding. Because that's the human, decent thing to do, which means it's the right communications thing to do as well.
Google and Twitter have revealed the things that Ireland searched for or talked about online most during 2019. What things on Google, Brianna, were the most searched?
My favourite question was how to boil an egg. I'm not
really
the only one out there who needs to sometimes look this up. That was number one question. But
you mean sometimes? You mean you've had to look it up more than once?
I hate eggs. When I have to make them for other people, I have to look up you know, hand yeah, I know.
I must confess, when I was an intern, so during college, and my first day in the internship, I had to make a pot of tea, and I don't drink tea, and I wasn't sure how many tea bags you put in, do you leave them in or not? So I remember furiously in the basement googling
how
to make tea.
This is a judgmental place about tea. You don't want to get that wrong.
It is indeed. So I can see why that would happen.
But the second search is really heartening. It was how to vote, which is good because it means people are enrolling. It means people are getting involved in the democratic process. And also,
funny enough, that was actually the thing that I thought was the best story yesterday in the British election. The massive queues was actually a good thing because it showed that people cared enough to queue for long enough to get into their polling booth and vote.
Absolutely.
But even then, whatever way they voted.
But then turnout was actually down across the board. So not
was it?
It was in the end.
That's why I don't understand you don't have compulsory voting. Best system in the world.
Yeah. You have compulsory voting.
We have compulsory voting. You get fined $50 if you don't vote. And we all turn out and vote.
But do the people who don't vote actually pay the $50?
Yeah, you get chased up and then the fine will increase the longer that you don't pay it. And then eventually I think you can lose your license if you don't pay it.
What I found very interesting in the Google searches, because as a sporting public, we're constantly told that people don't really care about rugby, that people don't really watch it, that really it's only covered as much as it's covered because there's money in rugby
well.
And
but
money
also,
in advertising. And yet the most searched thing in Google in Ireland last year was the Rugby World Cup. And that wasn't to learn the rules. It was following matches. It was looking at clips. So all the people who tell us that we don't care about rugby.
The numbers who watch the matches on television are enormous. They're vouched for. They're absolutely enormous. But other things, people asking questions on Twitter, you mentioned boil an egg, vote. Lose belly fat. Is that where you go to find out how to lose belly fat? Anyway, it never works. How to solve a Rubik's Cube. How to make French toast.
Valid.
Also, what is lupus? Which I thought was very strange. Do we have a lot of lupus in Ireland?
I think there was a celebrity with lupus. One of the Real Housewives had lupus.
Ah, that would explain that.
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay. To find out what the backstop is. Yeah. And that's one you'd return to again and again and again to try and work out what it actually was.
Me and my boiled egg, yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Fracking. That's interesting. People want to know about fracking.
Mm, absolutely.
Okay. And also, yeah, TikTok. What is TikTok?
TikTok is I don't know why I jumped in on this one.
Yeah, go on, you explain.
For people who couldn't see us, both me and Brenna looked at each other both in panic there, and then one of us went in for it. It's a new social media app where people, I think, take very, very quick clips of themselves, put it to music or a backing track, and do funny things with cats.
Yeah, the cat TikTok, look it up, is one of the best successful TikToks.
Very enjoyable. You can see them on Twitter.
Okay, other things that were searched. The Kardashians always get searched on a regular basis. Maria Bailey and Rebecca Vardy, for different reasons, searched regularly as well.
I love Rebecca Vardy and Christopher Wagatha.
The whole thing.
But we had to Google Rebecca Vardy for another reason. This is a true story. Happened to Billy, who's a Weekend AM producer on our show, was filming in Centre Parks in the UK, and Rebecca Vardy tweeted that this camera crew was following her around and she was being stalked by the paparazzi. And he's like, no, we're actually filming separately for our own show. And you had to look up what a Rebecca Vardy was back then. And then again, it came out.
Okay. All right. Just one more thing. One more search that caught your eye.
Actually,
the minute we have, tell us about the Irish naval vessel which has ended up in Libya.
There's an Irish naval vessel that has somehow, after we sold it to the Dutch or a Dutch firm, the Dutch then sold it on again.
Well,
and then
it was sold by the naval forces for €100,000 as if for scrap.
Yeah, and everything serious was taken out of it. All the guns, etc., were taken out of it. So it was sold for scrap. But then, and in breach of UN conventions, so to be fair to us, we knew that we didn't think this could happen because it was illegal. It was then sold on and sold on again. And now a Libyan warlord has it and it is re-equipped with guns and machinery and the likes. And so it's been used for different reasons than it had been used for.
I like to think there's a warlord buy and sell. You know, like, how are they finding out about these things that are for sale?
I hate to tell you, both of you, I've been given out to, you've got two buttes on with you today. Can't boil an egg, that's you, Brianna. Can't make tea.
I couldn't make tea.
Yeah.
And you're asking these two about serious subjects. Thank you very much, Brianna Parkins
Fair
and
enough.
Mark and Nine, for joining us here on The Last Word of JFM. And we look forward to seeing you again here in the new year as well for more of the week trending on a regular basis.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. On Today FM.